You know, when I, in 1975, a group of about 20 people, maybe a few more, trusted God to enable them to somehow get $6,000 to pay for an inexperienced young pastor to come to their church to help guide them. That young pastor was me. And you know what? It took a lot of faith for those people to do that. And I came in fear and trembling, but I was sure one thing, God called me. And I can remember sitting at my desk one day saying, "Oh Lord, why in the world?" I was so frustrated and so, I just came to the end of myself. And I said, "Lord, there's so many others that were at school with me, in Bible college with me, that were so much better at preaching and teaching, and it would have made such a much better pastor than I am." And you know, God spoke to me that day, and he said, "I chose you." Who would ever believe that God would be able to do all of this? I mean, it's unbelievable what God will do when his people are willing to go through the door into the darkness and believe that Jesus is with them. In 1979, now we're 100 people strong, and with fear and trembling, we decided to look into building a new church where we are now. And I can remember sitting down and looking at the blueprints. The congregation approved the blueprints for this building. And they said, "Well, the next step is to go out and get a mortgage." And I said, "Oh, we can't do that. We'll never get a mortgage." Interest rates were about 19%. And one man in that group said, "I believe we can get a mortgage rate for 13%. And they all laughed at him. I wanted to, but I didn't. And so we went out to five. He said, "Let's go and look." They gave us permission. "If you can get an interest rate for 13%, so let's go for it." Well, we went out to five banks. The fifth bank said, "We will give you a mortgage rate of 12.5%, adjustable rate," which meant when the interest comes down, so will ours. Our first mortgage payment was $2,422. I'll never forget those figures. And that first year, I had people come up to me and say, "Pastor, I don't think we can afford it. I don't think we're going to be able to keep the payments up." But by God's grace, we did, because God's people were willing to go through the door into the darkness to trust Jesus to do what he believed he was calling them to do. And here we are again. And guess what? It's starting over again. So the story's not done yet. When I came here in 1975, there was a pastor that said, "Your church is one foot in a grave and the other foot in a banana peel." And you know, from all outward appearances, he was right. Except for one thing. God. God wasn't through with us. And we trusted him, sometimes with fear and trembling, maybe a lot of times with fear and trembling, but we trusted him, and he saw us through. Psalm 34 and verse 8, God gave me this to share with my friends. It says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." Give God a chance in your life. You might open the door, that back door, and you see the darkness, and it's scary, but be willing to go through it anyway, trusting the Lord. Trusting the Lord. It begins at the foot of the cross where we ask Christ to be our Savior. We can go through that door with Christ's help. He goes with us in the midst of the darkness. That's the second thing. The third thing is, remember who gets the credit. We got to be very careful not to stand here and say, "Look at what we haven't done anything." God's done it all. He's done it all. Look at what God has done. with people who are willing to trust Him to go through the door of darkness, into the darkness with Him. And remember this, our ultimate destiny is home. It's not here. It's home in heaven. We're strangers and aliens here on earth, the Bible tells us. The Bible tells us our citizenship is in heaven. Jesus tells us, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also. And if we were not so, I would have told you. We have a place waiting for us in heaven. That's when we're really, really home. That's what makes the difference between fear and trembling with an awareness that God is going to see us through. Our Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All we have to do is follow. Be willing to open that door and go out into the darkness with Jesus. He will see us through. I don't know what you're going to be facing. I don't know what I'm going to be facing in the future. My body's getting older and I have a few ideas what it could be, but I'm not sure. But whatever it is, I know that I'm going to go through this with God. And someday when this life is over, I'll be with Him. And oh, what a blessing it will be to be with Him. The things of earth grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Let's walk with Him. Are you walking with Him? Have you met Him at the foot of the cross? Now, are you willing by faith, sometimes with fear and trembling, but by faith to go through that door into the darkness with Jesus? And someday, you'll see the light of your salvation face to face. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, work in our hearts, Lord. Help us to trust You. Help us to live by faith, Lord. And for some, that might mean coming to know You as their Savior. For others, it might mean willing to open that door and go out into the darkness. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Hey, welcome. It's good to see you this morning. We even busted out the yellow chairs. Seems super appropriate, and also I'm very sorry you have to sit on those. Thank you for being patient with the parking and everything. How about we fix it next week? Does that sound okay? When I was this week, I was looking for photos of when we flipped this room over to what it looks like now from what it used to look like, and I couldn't find the before and after pictures like anywhere. And so I pulled out old hard drives, and I was searching and getting angry and frustrated. And I pulled out an old hard drive that I have not touched probably since 2019. And I was on that hard drive looking for pictures of this room that you're sitting in now to put in that slideshow you saw. And as I was looking, there was this file that stood out to me because it shouldn't be on this hard drive. It just said Dad 2. I have on a current hard drive all of my dad's stuff collected. I have all of his sermons, all of his photos, tons of stuff on this current hard drive. So the fact that this one was there all by itself kind of threw me a little bit, and I didn't really have time. I wasn't in a mood. But I clicked on that just to see, well, maybe I stuck them in there, and what is this file doing on this hard drive? It should be on the other one. I clicked it open, and there was one file in there, and it was this sermon from 2019. I didn't know this at the time, but that, and you wouldn't know this from listening to that, but that was actually a Father's Day sermon. And if I had started it at the beginning of the file to see what it was, I never would have found that clip. But instead, because my dad screwed around a lot before messages, guess the apple doesn't fall real far, right? So I don't know, randomly is not the right word, but we'll call it randomly clicked to 22 minutes, right at the exact spot that that video started. I just thought, man, God's definitely doing some stuff and has been for a long time. Let me pray, and then I have a short message for you, and then we'll play two songs. Now, I know how our Chrisoniites roll, and you wait for one song to be done and think, I'm going to beat everybody out of here, and then you leave. You think we don't see it. I see it. I know what you do. Some of you picked your seat today just so you could scoot out before everybody else. But today, make an exception to that little mode and stick around, because at the very end of this service, after the two songs, I will be back up here. We're going to do something really special together. It's not going to take long. Please stay for it. God, we thank you so much. For everything. In Jesus' name, amen. I realized when I started praying that I was not going to make it through that prayer, so you're welcome for the shortest prayer I ever prayed. What a mess. In 2016, Christmas Eve, seems like forever ago, not a lot of this was happening. This church didn't look very much like it looked right now, but I was the pastor of this place, and we were at home in our house in Pine Grove, and my family, my little children, were all dressed and ready to go to church Christmas Eve. My wife was all ready to go to church Christmas Eve, but I was going through it. So while they were all getting ready, and I was supposed to be getting ready for church, I was laying in bed in an old beat-up t-shirt and ripped jeans and all in my head and heart. And my wife came rushing into the room. We're usually not early for things. Let's just say that's always my fault. And so she came in and she's like, we gotta go. It's Christmas Eve. Like, we gotta go to church. And I said, I'm not going. And she said, what? What do you mean you're not going? And I said, I think I quit. And I had been holding this feeling in my heart for months. I just didn't think I was good enough. I didn't think I had it, what it took to build a church. I had made plenty of mistakes. I was so on the struggle bus, like just frustrated and tired and burnt out and not seeing any of the fruit of what we had been working so hard at. And so for the first time, I blurted all of that out to my wife while laying in bed and summarized it with, I think I just need to quit. I don't think I'm cut out to be a pastor. I think I need to resign from my job. And she looked at me and said, not as nicely as I'm going to say right now, get out of bed. We're going to church. You can quit tomorrow. Have you ever felt like quitting something? What I've learned and what I learned that night and through the next couple weeks, it didn't get better right away. Like, Christmas was a great distraction that next day. The service went good. I forgot my Bible with my notes in it, so I just winged it. Didn't care. That whole week, I was really, like, questioning everything with God. And he started to do something in me that probably should have happened a long time ago. Maybe I just wasn't ready or wasn't open or willing. He started to change me. Give me a new perspective on this, on our county, on myself. Things like Ephesians chapter 1 in the beginning of that just started popping into my head, and if you just have to check that out later. We don't have time for today. And over the course of the next 2 weeks, God made it clear that I was not quitting, and he gave me the energy and the strength to keep going. And sometimes, if you just stay, that's the title of today's message, just stay. Sometimes if you just stay long enough, sometimes if you don't quit, sometimes if you just keep doing the faithful things one after the other, you let God have the time that he wants to do what he will do in your life. And I'm so glad I stayed. There's this story in Samuel. It's 1 Samuel chapter 7 and verses 1, 2 through like 12. And it's the story of the Israelites and Samuel. And Samuel was the last judge for the Israelite nations, and he was one of their prophets. Samuel was an incredible man. I'm no way comparing myself to Samuel. This is not the point of the story. But Samuel was an incredible man, and in leading the nation, he called them back to God. And they were beat up and tired and worn out. They had been pummeled. They had been getting the tar kicked out of them by the Philistines for quite some time. And they had also not been walking closely with God. They had been chasing down all kinds of idols and had walked away from him. And here Samuel was calling them back to God, and the people responded. And they say in 7 chapter 2, it says, then all the people of Israel turned back to the Lord. So Samuel said to them, if you are returning to the Lord with all of your hearts, then rid yourself of the foreign gods and commit yourselves to the Lord and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. It says, so the Israelites put away their Baals and their false gods, and they served the Lord only. It was like Samuel was saying, like, if you're in, then be in. If you're back, then be back. Stop screwing around with all of these distractions. Stop playing games with God. Like, if you're here, then just be here. And so the people all gathered around this mountain, and they came back together, and they said, we're here, and we're in, and we want to return to God, and we're done with these distractions and these false gods. And so they gather around, and as they're gathering around, they're like making offerings and worshiping God. It's the same thing that we do every Sunday, that other churches do every Sunday. The church is not a building, it's a people. But on Sundays, during the week, in small groups, in Tremont, in Cressona, in Orangeburg, all throughout this county and country and world, what happens on Sunday mornings is the churches gather in places. And the same thing that happens when churches gather today happened back then when that church gathered to worship, returning to God. And that is the enemy attacked. The Philistine army was there, and they were like so ready. They saw this worship gathering happening, and they thought, now is our time to go after them. The enemy never fights fair and only wants your destruction and devastation and defeat. The people are like sweating it. They're like, we're in big trouble. These guys have been beating us up for a long time. We finally turned back to God. I thought everything was supposed to go good now. And they're like ready to just pummel us. And they're going to. They're going to destroy us. And Samuel says to them, it says, when the Israelites heard of it, they were afraid because of the Philistines. They said to Samuel, do not stop crying out to the Lord your God for us that he may rescue us from the hand of the Philistines. They stayed. They didn't run. They didn't hide. They didn't go back to the false gods that had been a crutch for so long. They didn't think, I took this step back for God and things aren't turning out the way, so maybe it's a bunch of garbage. They just stayed and kept crying out to God. They kept seeking him. Samuel, he takes a lamb. He sacrificed it to the Lord, and he cries out to the Lord on Israel's behalf. They kept worshiping. And while Samuel was sacrificing the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to engage Israel in battle. But that day, it says, but that day the Lord thundered. You don't read that very often. The Lord thundered with loud thunder against the Philistines and threw them into such a panic that they were routed before the Israelites. The men of Israelites, they rush out and they rout the rest of the army. And then it says in verse 14, Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen. He named it Ebenezer, saying, thus far the Lord has helped us. That word Ebenezer means stone of help. They stayed long enough to hear the thunder of God, to see God do what they could not have done themselves. They stuck faithful just long enough to let God's timing play out, to see the enemy defeated, and to experience the victory that he has for you. I don't know what you feel like quitting on, but maybe just stay. Maybe just keep seeking God. Maybe just wait and see what he does next. I know he's got some stuff for us next, and I'm pretty excited about it. The vision is afresh again. The space that we never could have provided for ourselves is available for us. We have a church that will continue to gather just in another building, and I cannot wait to see what God does in you and through you next. I know it's going to be amazing. And I know the victories are already won. Don't give up. Just stay. Keep seeking God. Another thing I thought super interesting about this passage, the worship team's going to come up. Surprise to them. They did not know it's going to. The second thing that I have that struck me is this stone. You don't often see men of God in the Bible setting up things to look at. But here you have Samuel, who was just this absolute amazing man of God after this battle, setting up a stone and naming the stone Ebenezer, which is a weird name, but meaningful. He set this stone so that they would always look to that stone and remember all that God had done. They would remember that God had seen them to this place, that there had been a battle or two. Yo, can I say that there have been a battle or two waged in this room? There have been battles for your relationships. There have been battles waged for your family, battles waged for your kids, battles waged for some future spouse you hope exists out there in the world as you wait patiently in the loneliness that you have. There have been battles waged with addiction. There have been all kinds of battles waged. And then to remember that God is always faithful, even when you are not. It's just who he is. He had been their help before. He was their help on that day, and he would be their helper no matter what happened next. And so they set this stone, and maybe you need a stone. Maybe you don't, but maybe you do. A stone that helps you remember, like, God's always been there, and he always will. I've made it this far, and he'll see me through what's next. Those battles, I didn't know if I'd win some of them, but here I sit in the victory of them. Maybe you need a stone. Whatever stone you set to remember who God is and what he has done here in this room, out there in that cruddy parking lot. Set the stone and remember that this has always been God and always will be God. And can I suggest one other thing? Maybe this building. It's not the church. It's just block wall. Some drywall thrown on it. Some plumbing and some electrical work through it. And yeah, it's held all kinds of special moments. I have so many special, special moments in this building. But it's just a little bit of cement on a crappy parking lot on 101 Grave Street. But I'll tell you what, I'm going to make it. As we move on from here, I'm going to make this building, whatever it looks like in the future, if it's turned to rubble, I will make this 101 Grave Street my stone, my Ebenezer stone, my God is my helper stone. And when I look back on this time that we shared together here, what I will remember with all the memories that I have, good and I have bad ones, such joy and such heartbreak, with all the memories in here, what I will look back on is how God helped us. He got us this far, and He'll get us through whatever's next. I'll remember that He has always been faithful and always will be faithful, and I will choose to just be filled with gratitude for all that He's done. Let's pray. God, we thank You for this place. It has been a gathering place where we have witnessed You do the incredible, the miraculous, where relationships have been forged, where families have been started, where people have been baptized, where lives have been given to You, where addictions have been broken. And so we just say thank You for letting us fill this space up until we can't fill it anymore. And we thank You for the next space, because You will continue to write our story there, and the same stuff that You did here you will do there. Help us not to hold this in a wrong place in our heart. It is not the church. We are. It is not God. You are. We are so, so thankful for all that You have blessed us with. In Jesus' name, amen.